Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance through our risen, reigning, and returning Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, guide us in truth. Your word is truth. It may seem a bit odd that our guiding text for this, the first Sunday in Advent, is the account of Noah from Genesis chapter 6. I'll not reread the whole account, but some selected verses. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord said, make yourself an ark of cypress. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. And two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. We will look at this account of Noah through the lens of the gospel for today. And what is of first importance is this. I don't know if you can see that. I'm not a very good artist with a marker. The end is near. This is almost a joke, isn't it? This is almost a caricature that we see in modern cinema. The roving street preacher who may be a little bit dirty, certainly looks kind of gruff, maybe he has a long beard. Running around talking about how the end is near, some major apocalyptic event is happening. And you know what? He's not wrong. A simple look at the world around us today shows us that it's not all that different from the world in which Noah lived. And in that time, Noah was given a job. He was told, judgment is coming, build an ark. And how do you think Noah spent the days after that announcement? Working. Jesus has some compelling words for us in the gospel for today. He says, be on guard. The owner of the house is coming. Watch and work as you have been told. This is really an appropriate reminder at the beginning of Advent. Our eyes tend to turn to the manger at this time of year, as well they should. But we should also keep an eye on the sky. Because the truth of Advent is not only Jesus the babe is coming, but also Jesus who has all angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him is coming. And to that end, I say to you today, believer, the boss is coming. Get to work and make sure you're working for the right boss. There isn't a whole lot to expand upon when it comes to Noah and the work he had. He was to build an ark. Now, there was a definite timeline that Noah had, whether he knew about it or not. there was going to be 120 years, God had determined, and then there would be a cleansing. Now, whether or not Noah knew about the 120 years or not, he knew that he had a task that was given to him by God to be done. And it would be. And this task that Noah had had purpose and meaning. This task was life. It was life for the animals that would come to him, and it was also life for him and his family. And that work was going to be tested. I imagine that he was a little bit picky about the craftsmanship in his work at this time. Going over his work with a fine-tooth comb, checking the joinery of the wood and making sure that the tucking was done just right. And of course, that when the pitch was spread over, that it covered every last inch. This ark was going to be put through the ringer. It needed to be done right. So do you think Noah let himself get distracted from that work in that time? Knowing that there was something major, this big event that was coming, and this was the only salvation for him and his, do you think he got distracted? I doubt it. I imagine Noah had a bit of tunnel vision on his work. And I also imagine that those people around him, the ones that weren't going to be getting on the ark, didn't like that. I imagine that they would have come and tried to distract him, try to pull him away, or even shame him for the work that he was doing to get him away from the important task at hand. Christian, something major is coming. What task do you have? Jesus says that the master of the house left the servants with different tasks. What task do you have? What has the Lord laid upon your heart to do for His glory? It can be as simple as the things that you do every day, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. It can be as simple as training your children up in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. It could be coming to the church, helping to take care of the grounds or the building. It could be coming here to the PTF meetings and encouraging our Christian education. It could be coming and supporting our teachers and our staff in the work that they are doing of ministry here. It can also be supporting the Haven Project, taking gifts and the message of Jesus to families all over Ozaukee County. Whatever you do, to the glory of God. And it can also be those unknown moments that pop up that you get to share your faith and the message of Jesus. Moments that are unknown to us, yet God has prepared in advance for us to do. To show the love and truth of God to those who need it. This is good work for us to do. And here's the awesome twist. In a typical work relationship, there is an image, drive, response, and realization. Or to put it another way, there's the task, the payment promised, the work, and then payment delivered. That's how it worked for Noah. He was told, the flood is coming. Build an ark and you will survive. He built the ark and they survived. That's not how our relationship is set up. That's not our arrangement. While we were still in sin, God sent His Son to redeem us. To bring us back to His Father's side in everlasting glory. The reality is, the joyous reward is ours already. The doors of heaven stand wide open to us. And the greatest thing that we could never hope for, a right relationship with God is yours through the work of Jesus. So our work of faith is not a response in order that we might get that which has been promised to us. We have it. And so our response in the joyful knowledge that the gift that we have been given can be shared to those around us without lessening in any way at all. Ours is a response not in order that we get, but because we've already been given. Noah's story really punctuates our own. His was a task to be set apart from all mankind, to be noticed as different, and to serve faithfully. Is our task any different? Not really. There's no big boats, sure, but we are a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. We are to be about His work. And if our goal in life is to live to the glory of God, then like Noah, we will seek to learn what God's will is and get in line with it. And just like Noah's work was tested, our focus on our work will be tested too. Because the world around us doesn't like it when our focus is correct. The environment in which we live is quite honestly not conducive to living a life that is completely in line with God's will. And so throughout human history, humans have tried to create these safe spaces where they can live God's will. A monastery surrounded by monks, or a nunnery surrounded by nuns, or my personal favorites, the hermitage, the place where you're surrounded by no one. That's where you can serve God the best, right? Right. In all of human history, there's only ever been one place where human beings had the opportunity to live wholly and completely in line with the will of God, without any distractions, and that was the Garden of Eden. And I think we all know how that ended up. I think of it like a ditch digging crew. Everyone in the ditch has their shovels and they're working away, and that's how it's supposed to be until one of them rises up and says, "Hey, I can be the boss." And so he walks out and confronts the boss and says, "Hey, why are you in charge? I can be in charge. I don't need you. I'm the leader here." And the boss says, "Well, I'm the boss because I'm the boss. This is my job site. I set it up. I know the plan. I'm the boss." The worker says, "I don't need you, though. I'm smart. I can figure this out." Well, the boss says, "Okay. Hit my hand." You can guess what happens. As the worker winds up and throws his punch, the boss moves his hand. "Ow! Hand is broken. Ouch, ouch, ooh." Well, I think we've learned our positions here. So the worker, instead of being put in his place, he runs down into the ditch to find the other workers and says, "Hey, come here." Grabs people who are working, pulls them away. "Come, talk to me. I can be the boss. I can be the leader. I know I can do it. I'm smart. Hit my hand." The world is defeated. Yet it still tries to pull us away from following the real boss. It doesn't like it when we stay focused on the real and important work. It seeks our attention, and not just with bright and flashy things, but also in constant quiet whispers. And if those things aren't working, it sends in reinforcements, people that try and guide us on different paths or simply shame us because of the path that we are on. Has it happened to you? Have you stumbled in your walk? Have you been shamed for your faith? Kept silent? That's the other boss winning. Standing there with his broken hand and broken nose, smiling. And the sad truth is, he doesn't need that much help, does he? Because even inside your own head, there's that voice that's calling out, trying to get you to do what's best for you. Trying to set you free. Free from service to God. Free from His work. Free like everybody else who is tethered to this world, who's walking around with their hands over their eyes, claiming they see so clearly. The devil, the world, and the old nature of man work together like bullies on a faithful student. They come and push us around. They try and knock our book from our hands, trying to get us to think about only the moments where they are pushing us. And not about the moment when the teacher comes. And he does come. And whether we have stayed strong or forgotten for a time who we worked for, he comes and comforts those who are his. He reminds us in his word and sacrament that we are his, that we don't belong to this world. We don't move around on this world like others. We are his. We can fight off these assailants. We can demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against God. And we can take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And we can do that through him who has defeated all the other bosses already. Our boss, Christ, who is for us, the only one whom we follow. He has done the work. He's done the heaviest part. The stuff that we couldn't even think about starting, he has finished. It is finished. God's forgiveness is yours. Heaven is your home. And someday, we don't know the day or the hour, the boss will come. And he will rightly expect that those who claim to be his workers will have been working. That they will be committed to him above all others and been about the tasks that he assigned them. He will close up the job site because the time for work will be over, and he will rightly be judging. The false bosses will be kicked out along with the sleeping, lazy workers, but the faithful will come into true rest. Noah found a new world after his work on the ark, but it was still a world full of sin and struggle. The world we will be brought into will have none of that. It will be a world without toil or pain, a world made by our heavenly boss with his unending joy and glory all around us. A place of true belonging that won't fight to take us away from our actual purpose. Comfort and rest will be ours when the boss comes. The end is near. Yes, it is. But that's not a sign to make us laugh or be afraid. It's a sign to fire us up. The end is near. The boss is coming. This time of toil is almost over. Be faithful in your work, whatever it may be. Do it all to the glory of God. He has prepared these tasks for you to do, and he equips you to do them so that when he comes suddenly at midnight or at dusk or at dawn, he will look at you and say, well done. Believer, get to work. We get to work for the right boss, and he is coming. The end is near. Rejoice, for this is good news. Amen. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.